One of the most important skills in meditation is learning how to be patient. And being patient, I discovered many years ago, there are two types of patience. And the first one is what I keep calling waiting in the future. And the second type of patience is waiting in the present. And if you can distinguish between those two types of patience, then you'll understand why people get tense when they're waiting for something to happen. Sometimes that's called waiting in the future. Now in life, sometimes it doesn't go according to our schedule. And so when we're waiting for the aircraft to take off, when we're waiting for the monk to give the talk, when we're waiting for the monk to finish the talk so we can go to the toilet, that's all called waiting in the future. And that creates a lot of tension, that it lacks the peace. And that's what often happens in people's meditation, when they're getting peaceful, for they've heard all these amazing things which monks like me describe, and they're waiting for something to happen. They're waiting for the beautiful nimittas. They're waiting for all the jhanas. They're waiting for enlightenment. They're waiting for all the razzmatazz and the jingle jangle to happen in the mind. And of course it never happens, because they're waiting in the wrong moment. They're waiting for something to happen. And instead of waiting for something to happen, the other type of waiting is waiting in this moment. Again, as I was saying last night, just being here. The talk hasn't started, it's just silence. Now the talk has happened, it's not finished. So we're always in this moment, not waiting for something to finish, not waiting for something to begin, but we're right here. Because without waiting for something to happen or waiting for it to stop, there's so many expectations. And with that expectation, the mind gets stretched. When it gets stretched, it can't be soft and peaceful and still, and it can't get into the deep meditations. So remember, in this meditation, we wait in this moment, not in the future, not counting the minutes and wondering when is something going to happen, not going off and thinking, when is the meditation going to finish? When is lunch going to be? When can I go to bed? When can something else happen? That's most of your life, is always waiting in the future. But instead, we wait in the present moment. And in the present moment, that's where you also discover, you know, what I call the in-between moments of life. And in those in-between moments, that's where wisdom, that's where peace, that's where enlightenment happens. Not at the end points, not at beginning points, but in the in-between points of your life. It's amazing just how many people, they meditate, 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 they never get any insight. But then they get up and they walk to the toilet, and on the way, they get deep insight. Why is that? Because between here and the toilet, those are in-between moments. Otherwise known. What's the other word for in between? Middle way. Middle way moments of life. So you haven't got anywhere. You've already left where you were. That's why the classic, you know, in between moments is called the present moment. That's the most essential in between moment. And much of your life you'll find you sacrifice all those in-between moments of your life. When you're waiting in the airport for the aircraft to take off, how much time do you waste? When you're stuck in the traffic, or the red traffic light, waiting for it to turn green, another classic in-between moment of your life. You haven't got to your goal. You've left where you originated from. And you think that this is time to be wasted. And it's because you waste so much of those in-between moments of life. That is why you waste much of your life. So wherever you happen to be, even though we always are in between things, wherever you are, this is where the action is. So during this retreat, see if you can recognize the in-between moments. You finish meditating, but you haven't started walking meditation yet. You finish the walking meditation, and you're on your way to lunch, but you haven't got to lunch yet. in those in-between moments of life. Usually we waste them, but those are the times where the great insight really happens. As I say, most of life is in between. I've left one place and I'm going somewhere else. Much of life is in between. I am in between. Many years ago I was born. Soon I will die. Now I'm in between. It's called life. So, see if you can recognize those in-between moments and don't waste them. It's again encouraging everybody during this retreat. If you want to be peaceful, if you want to be still, if you want to get happy, if you want to get wise so you don't waste this opportunity, then please remember to celebrate the in-between moments and also to celebrate this present moment. In the beginning of a retreat, we always have to emphasize the present moment, which is why in this hall you have no clocks. You don't know what time it is. You don't need to know what time it is, because I'll tell you the time. I've got a clock here, and it's now minutes past the nouth hour of the nouth day of the nouth month of 2000 and now. And the clock hasn't changed ever since we started. So if you take away the time and the days and the years, imagine what it would be like. Now that was very much the experience, you know, when I was a young monk in Thailand. There were no clocks. There was a bell which sounded in the morning. There were no calendars. And it's no exaggeration. There was once, I remember this really clearly because it really shocked me at the time. I never realized how much I'd let go of time until somebody asked me what the date was. And I really had to think hard what the date was. It wasn't just the date. I didn't know the year. I had really, this is absolutely true, I had no clue about what year it was. Because, you know, the days as a monk, you know, one day after the other, it's always the same. And it doesn't make any sense to have months and years. We didn't have holidays like you have now. Now every day, it's really unfair because most of Perth is on holiday today. You know, it's the Easter weekend and I have to keep on working. It's really unfair. I'm going to start a union so I can have a holiday off afterwards. But anyway, my life is a holiday, so who cares? So, there's no holidays, maybe the special day of Waisak, but a lot of the time you forgot what year it was because it didn't matter. And that was a wonderful experience to come into the present moment. As soon as I came back to Perth, after leaving Thailand, I made a point of noticing what the date was, because what happened in our first little centre in North Perth, you know, we always get a few people who are a little bit mentally disturbed, and there's this one fellow, I remember him as, I still remember his name, Druba, he was a Nepalese guy, and he had an epileptic fit in our centre, so we had to call the ambulance. We were looking after him, making sure he didn't choke, and when the ambulance came, the first thing they asked this guy is what day it was. And apparently I asked, why do you ask that, what day it is? Because if they don't know what day it is, they're obviously a bit crazy, and we put them in the van and take them to the hospital. From that day onwards, I made a point of always knowing what the day was. Otherwise, I might end up in those places. Because these people don't understand monks, you know. They started talking to us, they would think we were crazy. But getting into that timeless present is really beautiful. And after a while, you realize this is actually quite wise. I mean, what's the difference between today and tomorrow and yesterday? What's the difference between morning and evening and night time? Yeah, it's dark. But you know, I spend more of my time in the cave, in my monastery. You don't know whether it's light or dark outside in my cave. And it's just the same all day, all night. So if I'm energized, I meditate. If I'm tired, I sleep. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. So don't be a prisoner of your clock and wondering, how many minutes have I meditated? How many hours are there to go? How many days are left? Because if you do, you're wasting this wonderful opportunity just to be free of time. Time is a great prison which we live in. Time is this
this torturer who always prods us. There's only 5 minutes to go. Only 4 minutes to go. You better be quick. The talk's going to start soon. You better hurry up. You better go. You're all allowed to be late on this retreat. You can turn up at any time during my talk and I will not be upset. And you can leave at any time and I will not be upset. So please, don't be a prisoner of time. See if you can be free. In fact, you can turn up for breakfast at any time. If it's too late, there won't be anything to eat, but you can still turn up there at any time. And you can turn up for lunch late if you like. All the best food will be gone. But try not to be too much of a prisoner of time, because if you are, you lose this beautiful present moment, just being here. You've got 8 or 9 days in front of you. So you don't have to worry about, you know, about meeting demands or getting things done. You've got plenty of time. It's one of my favourite sayings, which I'm sure you've all heard. Never do today what you can put off until tomorrow, because you might die tonight. And there's so many people who have died and they just regret, oh, why did I do all that work? I'm dead now. I didn't need to clean up the house. Somebody else would have done that for me. I didn't need to sort of write all those letters. You know, I'm dead now. No one cares anyway. So why is it that people do so much work and when they actually die, they realize that what they've actually done is wasted so much time? So remember, you've got 9 days here. So put off everything until, when are we leaving? Saturday week or something. So don't do anything. Put everything off until after you leave. And instead, schedule in this present moment, just now. Even those of you who want to do the washing and the laundry, and you're worrying about when that person will finish so that you can do yours, forget about the laundry. If it really gets smelly, we can light some incense. You know, that's why they had incense in monasteries, you know, to get rid of the smell of people when you didn't have so much hygiene in the old days. So if you don't need to wash so much, you can save water. And we've got lots of incense back in the monastery, so we can just do lots of incense. In other words, please, don't have all these things you must do and just leave meditation till later. Please don't do that. Make this present moment the most important thing. And if you don't know the classic story about letting things go so you can do what's most important, it is the story of the origin of the monkey mind. You may have heard in meditation people talking about a monkey mind. And a monkey mind is supposed to be a mind which runs all over the place, just like monkeys are supposed to be in the jungle, swinging from one thing to another thing. But there's a much deeper meaning to the monkey mind. And this comes from a story which, I know I gave this talk when I gave the talk on Buddhism and bananas, one of the classic talks some years ago in Nolamara. There's not many monks can actually give a talk on the subject of bananas. But I remember giving that talk about this. Actually, We had some bananas for breakfast. Did you have some bananas for breakfast? How did you peel the banana? Now, the next time you have a banana, you try peeling the banana like monkeys peel the banana. You usually peel it at the stalk. You know, which is the little bit which is the thin bit. If you watch a monkey in the forest, they never peel the banana at that end. They peel the banana at the flower end, which is the opposite way that most people peel bananas. And if you try the opposite end, you know, the flower end, which has got no stalk in it, you'll find it's much easier. Now, this is a great simile. Why do you do it your way instead of following the experts? The experts on bananas are monkeys. So don't do it your way, do it the monkey way. And similar, the experts on meditation are not the monkeys, but the monks. So don't do it your way, do it our way. We are the experts. So just by eating a banana. Don't peel it your way. Try the other way. You'll be amazed. After I gave that talk, I got many letters back. So, yeah, actually, it works. It's much easier to peel a banana at the opposite end, which most people usually do. And the same with life. If you listen to the monks, you'll be much wiser and you will have less suffering. So, but the particular story about the monkey mind was the story of, it was one Waisak day over in Asia somewhere. And as you know, on Waisak day, so many people, Buddhist holiday, so many people come to the temple or the Vihara, and there's so much food that there must be someone who leaves a banana or leaves a mango or leaves some sort of fruit on the plate, or they drop it on the floor, and that's where the monkeys can get something to eat. There's so much food that there must be a good chance of the monkey being able to steal something or get something. So, one of the monkeys went to the temple on Waisak day hoping to get something nice to eat which somebody dropped on and left on a plate unattended. But as he was waiting for the first piece of fruit, he heard the monk giving the sermon. And when the monk was giving the teaching, he heard the monk talk about monkey mind, monkey mind, monkey mind. And of course, the monk was interested. Hey, the monk is talking about me. So you know, if somebody's talking about you, you know, you always open your eyes and just, you know, don't you, Venerable Pasada? See, she opened her eyes. So the monkey was very interested. So he swung next to the temple, to an open window, and started listening to what the monk was saying about the monkey mind. Now, for those of you who know meditation, the meditation teachers, they look upon the monkey mind as being the sort of mind which you have to get rid of, a mind which is a distraction, a mind which is a great hindrance to deep meditation. A monkey mind is not a good mind to have. In fact, it shows a mind of a stupid person, a mind who's not disciplined, who hasn't been trained. It's a very bad mind. And as soon as a monkey heard a monkey mind was a bad mind, a stupid mind, a mind of an idiot, someone who's not well trained and disciplined, the monkey got very upset. And he said, you can't go and say bad things about monkey minds. You know, that's defamation. That's libel. What's wrong with monkey minds? You know, these human beings, they're just so intolerant of other species. You know, just like, you know, men talking down at women, or sort of white people talking down about black people. You can't do that in today's world, and no way can you also demean a monkey. He was really upset. And so what do you do when you get upset? You go and tell your friends. So he went back to the forest where the troop of monkeys lived, and he started complaining. Hey, you wouldn't believe what these monks say about us. I heard one of these monks talking about a monkey mind and saying what a rotten mind that is, what a terrible... He defamed us, he scolded us, that's not on, that's not fair. And all the other monks said, yeah, we can't allow this, that's defamation, that's libel, that's slander, there's nothing wrong with a monkey mind, we've got monkey minds, it's a nice mind. And they were all jumping up and down, complaining. And that's when the elder of the monkey tribe, now the leader, he stopped them all and said, that is a monkey mind. Jumping up and down and complaining like you do. And all the monkeys, they respected the elder and they thought about it and they said, yeah, that's right. Jumping up and down, complaining. The water in the showers is too cold. There's not enough food. There's not too cold, too hot, whatever it is. If you complain during this retreat, you are a monkey. With a monkey mind. We should have it cheap, we should have it warmer, we should have softer beds, we should have longer beds, we should have, you know, soundproof, we should have no one snoring in the room next to us. We shouldn't have people banging the doors, putting the kettle on at 3 o'clock in the morning. Ba ba ba, monkey, monkey, monkey. So all the monkeys said, oh yeah, we've got monkey minds, always jumping up and down complaining. So what should we do to overcome the monkey mind? And the elder said, look, I've been to the temple as well, and I see all these monks. They teach all these people how to overcome the monkey mind by teaching them meditation. I've seen them do meditation myself. And so all the monks say, yeah, teach us how to meditate. Yeah, we want to meditate. Yeah, come on. How do we meditate? So the monk, he didn't know too much about meditation. He said, well, I see them all sit on nice big chairs, sometimes huge chairs. So he said, go get yourself some grass from the forest and make yourself a nice chair. So all the monkeys went off into the forest and they got some grass and the leaves and made themselves into these nice zafus, you know, these sorts of things, and nice cushions, and the big ones as well. So one monkey made a huge cushion. I said, yeah, we've all got our cushions. Now what do we do? I said, the next thing you do, you've got to sit down cross-legged. Because that's how I see what they do. So all the monkeys sat down and crossed their legs. Then what do we do? I said, right paw over the left paw. So they all sat down, right paw over the left paw. Back straight, heads down. All back straight, heads down. And close your eyes. And they all close their eyes. And then the head monkey said, now, being the present moment, no time. Be silent. And after 1 minute, all those monkeys were meditating. It's amazing. The first time in history that ever happened. So many monkeys being quiet. But of course, being monkeys, it didn't last that long. Excuse me, said one of the monkeys. He said, what is it? And all the other monkeys opened their eyes. And he said, look, I've been thinking. Don't you remember that we agreed early this morning that for lunch we were all going to the banana plantation? We're going to raid the banana plantation to get all the bananas for lunch. Now we agreed on that, we're going to do that. I said, yeah, we're going to do that after we finish meditating. I said, no, look, can't we do it now and get it out of the way? Because I keep thinking about it. You know what it's like in meditation, all these things you want to do. Get it out of the way first of all, then I won't have to think about it, then we can meditate. And all the monkeys said, yeah, good idea, let's get it out of the way first of all. So then we can meditate. We won't have to keep thinking about it. So they all got up to their seats. They swam to the banana plantation. They stole lots and lots of bananas, as monkeys do. Now, it wasn't lunchtime yet. So they didn't eat the bananas. They put them in a big heap in the middle of the forest. And then they all went back to their cushions. You know, right leg over the left leg, right paw over the left paw. Back straight, heads down. Present moment awareness, silence, and watch the breath. Excuse me, said another monkey. That I've been thinking, all those bananas over there, you know, before we can eat them, we have to peel them, first of all. And I keep thinking about that. So in order to get rid of that, you know, wandering, thinking mind, can we please peel all the bananas, first of all? Get it out of the way. Yeah, good idea, said the monkeys. Yeah, great idea. So all the monkeys got off from their meditation and started peeling the bananas. They peeled all of them. They didn't eat them yet. It wasn't lunchtime. They just peeled them first of all. And after they peeled all the bananas, they threw the peels away, so this big heap of peeled bananas, so they didn't have to worry about peeling it later on. They went back onto their cushions, the right leg over the left leg, right paw over the left paw, back straight, heads down, and started washing their breath. Excuse me, said another monkey. I've just been thinking. And I can't get this out of my head. You know, before we actually eat those bananas, we have to put them in our mouth first. Because can we just put, we won't eat them yet, we won't eat them, we just put them in our mouth. Get it out of the way, so one needs to think about it. Yeah, good idea, said the other monkeys. Yeah, great idea. So they all got up, and they put a banana in their mouth each. There's two or three monkeys, you know what monkeys are like, they put two bananas in. You watch at lunchtime, you have a plate there, and there'll be a few of you put two or three, whatever you're cutting off. One monkey put three bananas in his mouth, there's always one. And, but they weren't going to eat them yet. They went back onto their cushions. Right leg over the left leg with bananas in their mouth. Right paw over the left paw, back straight, heads down. And started meditating. And of course, a monkey being a monkey, as soon as everybody had their eyes closed, they ate all those bananas. And that is what we really mean by the monkey mind. I'll get my washing done, and then I will meditate. I will just send that last text message and then I will meditate. I will just have a sleep and then I will meditate. All these things you get out of the way. Just like the monkeys. And of course, those monkeys, did they ever meditate? Of course they didn't. Because they're always getting things out of the way, first of all. So, don't get things out of the way. Now is the only time you have. Meditate now. In fact, get meditation out of the way, first of all. So get jhanas out of the way, and then you can wash your clothes. Get enlightenment out of the way, and then you can send your text messages and do all this other stuff. So remember, give this present moment importance. All of your past. I said last night, I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what status you are. I don't care whether you're a monk or a nun or a lay person. That's all the past. In this present moment, we all start equally from the same place called now. No one is ahead. No one is behind. And now the present moment is just a great equalizer of all beings. I don't care whether you've got great degrees. That was in the past. I don't care what you can achieve later on. That's in the future. Right now, we're all here. Equal. So if you don't limit yourself to your past, it's amazing how free you can be. This is why in psychology, people that have low self-esteem. What do you mean by low self-esteem? It means that they just tie themselves to the mistakes of their past. And they think, I can't achieve this because I didn't achieve it in the past. I'm hopeless, I'm terrible, I'm a waste of time. I don't know why I've even come here. I'm not going to get anywhere. I'm a hopeless case. If you tie yourself to the past, you're never going to achieve anything. And if you tie yourself to the past, I am this great meditator. You know, the last time I was here, I got jhana. So I'm going to get... Now, last time was only first jhana. This time, second jhana. Third jhana. Fourth jhana. Sixth jhana. 20th jhana. There's no 20th jhana, but you know, you can always hope. But all those people who tie themselves to the successes of their past, they just become proud and arrogant. So you've got a choice. You tie yourself to the mistakes of the past and you lose your self-esteem, you get depressed and upset. You tie yourself to the successes of the past and you just get arrogant and proud. Neither of them are very helpful at all. So you untie yourself from the past. You imagine the past as just this great like sled of goods, you know, these sledges, and you haven't got huskies, you know, to actually carry them. You've just got yourself to drag them through sort of the desert or the... Actually, I know a joke about that. I don't know the last time I told the story of the guy who was crawling through the desert. He was crawling, he'd been lost in the desert for days, without water, without food, dehydrated, sunstroke, heatstroke, hallucinating. As he was crawling through the sand with maybe only a few minutes of life left into him. And he managed to get to the top of one of the sand dunes in the blaring, hot, desiccating sun. And in the distance, he saw something. Was it a mirage? Was it a fantasy? Or was it the truth? Because what he saw was somebody coming with a sled. With dogs pulling the sled. What are dogs? And a sled doing in the middle of the desert. I must be hallucinating. It must be a mirage. But the sled came closer towards him. And he could actually hear the sound of barking huskies. And he looked behind and there was a guy dressed in furs on the back. This is weird. I must be going mad from the sun. But the sled came right up to this dying man. And the huskies were licking him. He could actually feel their lips. They're not lips, they're tongues. Well, you know, it's close enough. And could hear them. And the guy in the back, it was a real Eskimo with a dog's fed. And he said, oh my goodness, this is so unexpected and so weird, but I'm saved. Thank you for saving me. I've been lost in the desert for days, said the dying man. And the Eskimo replied, "And you think you're lost?"
I'm sure you've heard that before, but it's a good joke, it's a gold story.
So imagine you're pulling the sled like those poor huskies, and that sled is so heavy, pulling it through the desert or through the snowfields. It's so heavy to pull, why don't you just let it go? So you've got nothing to pull, nothing to drag you back into the past. You let make this great determination, this great resolution. I am going to let go of everything which happened in the past. This present moment, this now, has never happened before. All the past is totally gone during this retreat. It is a burden. You know it's a burden. And all the time you think and try and work out the past, does it ever get you anywhere? You learn much more from letting go of the past. You do by mulling it over, thinking about it. Why did it happen? Who did it? Why did they do it? Should I have done something different? Some months ago. Actually, for those of you interested, this is a good ad. Angie, or somebody, brought some of these little DVDs of a little movie done about myself and some of the other monks. What was it called? The Forest Way or something? The Forest Way. And in it, there was part of the interview, they were asking me about, you know, that Bhikkhuni ordination which I did. I said, because one of the monks, you know, he's a good friend, you know, in England, he rang up and he said, in hindsight, would you have done things differently? And, you know, I respect his questions, and I said, in hindsight? I said, what's hindsight? I don't do hindsight. And actually, it was actually being true to myself. I don't do hindsight. I don't look back and say, should I have done it differently? If I'd have done it a different way, if I'd have acted differently, if I'd have done this, if I'd have done that. Because a long time ago, I let go of that sort of rubbish. You can't do hindsight. Because you can't know all the reasons why you acted like you did. And the situation was there. There's so many influences, so complex. You take everything into consideration, you make your decision. But most people are really good, and they try and make the best decisions. Very few really evil people in this world. No, stupid people, yes, but not evil people. But we try and do our very best, we make our decisions. And basically, I can't find out all that information ago. That moment has passed so long ago. I can't recreate it. I can't do hindsight. It's a beautiful realization. Now, when people ask me to realize, yeah, I actually haven't done hindsight for years. You let the past go and you move on. Because you can't recreate it. You can't make that decision again. You can't even find out whether it's a good decision. And so also I remember telling Ajahn Sujato, I said, look, the past is ineffable. Now, there's a word in English called the ineffable. You've heard the ineffable. I mean, it's very very beyond thought, beyond philosophy. You can't really capture it. You know, that's what they say, God, or the Dhamma, or Karma, or Nibbana. It's ineffable. You can't really capture it in words. It's just too profound. It's ineffable. But I don't like that word because it's pretty useless. A lot of times it's used by people who don't know what they're talking about. They call it ineffable. But I changed that to ineffable. Now, ineffable is something you can understand. Ineffable means, you know, when you try and look at the past and say, if I did something else, if I didn't ordain the bhikkhus, if I'd have asked more permission, if I'd have not told anybody, kept it really, if I'd have done, that's looking at the past and saying, if. If I was kinder to my husband, if I'd have spent more time with my kids, if I'd have, you know, worked a bit harder on that degree so I wouldn't have failed it, if I, you know, if I'd have dumped that girlfriend, you know, then I wouldn't have to get married to her, and whatever it was. All these ifs and ifs and ifs, which is called hindsight, that is a total waste of time. That's why I say the past is ineffable. You can't if the past. It's gone. Now that's a word you can get your head around, the ineffable past. So that helps you just let go of this past. It's gone, it's finished, it's done with. Please let it go. Otherwise, you'll waste so much time on this retreat. Because now you have time. You know, you don't have so many things you have to do. You don't have business. One of the things in a retreat, now you have time, and people waste the time. Now I can think and I can look back, you know, what did I do that, you know, caused this divorce? What did I do, you know, to cause, you know, me losing my job? What did I do to cause my sickness? And you look at the past because you've got time to look at the past on this retreat, but you are wasting that time. So don't do that. The past is ineffable. It's gone. Finished. It's like dead. How many of you, when your relation dies, keep the coffin in your house for year after year after year? Imagine your mother or your father or your brother or even your cat or your rabbit dies. Do you keep it in the house to rot? Of course you don't. What's dead needs to be cremated or buried. Because I was talking about death recently, because my mother died, I let people know, because, you know, one day I will die, and I have to, you know, do this called living wills, you know, to tell people what I want to happen to me when I die. What I want to happen, I don't want to be buried, I don't want to be cremated, because burying takes up too much land. Cremation, it's too much burning, too much greenhouse gases, which is bad for climate change. So over here in Australia, we've got these yellow bins for recycling. They're collected every Friday over here, maybe different days at Dharamsala. So I just want to be put in the recycling bin. And that's environmentally very, very good. It's also very cheap because, you know, you only pay for two bins. How many? Three bins, I think, here a week. And, you know, I'm sure you can fit me in with all the rest of the plastic and the cardboard and whatever else is in those bins. So that's what I want to do, and that's my last wish, so you better keep it, otherwise I'll come back. It's a path, a dead body, so what the heck, what's the big deal about it? So, the past is like lots of dead bodies. The dead experiences of the past. Every moment of your past is like a coffin, which should not be stored in your brain, but to let go of as soon as possible. So, during this retreat, don't waste this time dwelling on the past. Otherwise, you'll be wasting this amazing opportunity. Don't waste time on worrying about the future and what you're going to do next. There is no next. You should meditate as if there is a meteor, like a comet, hurling towards Jhana Grove. And this is going to be a ground zero where it's going to hit. And you've only got 9 days before the meteor hits. Sometimes people think, oh my goodness, does Ajahn Brahm know something? But imagine it is. You've only got 9 days and you're all going to be totally wiped out together with planet Earth. How would you meditate? That is how you should meditate on this retreat. The meteor. Is it not a meteor? What's it called? An asteroid or whatever. Anyway, or space junk. Coming towards you, about to wipe out you and everything. So you meditate like that. Then, would you worry about your family, your wealth, the stock market, the soccer, whatever else is you really get interested in? Forget about it. Then you don't have to have any worries about the future. You're totally free. Then see what your meditation is like. Because that is the first thing you should really focus on in this retreat. No past, no future, just this present moment. The reason why it's hard to stay in this present moment is pretty scary. Not tying yourself to the past. The deep reason is because that's who you think you are. Your whole identity is caught up with what's happened to you so far in your life. And it's amazing. I've seen people, even terrible things have happened to them in the past, really painful things. They won't let it go because that is who they are. When I first encountered that, and I have an interesting life as a monk, because I go and give talks in really, really weird places, you know, like computer conferences and business schools, That's really weird in business schools. But I once gave this talk at a grief and loss conference. Now, the psychologists and counsellors dealing with people who have had tragedies in their life and are just consumed with grief and can't let it go. And there are sometimes just very tragic stories, you know, kids being sort of murdered by paedophiles and they have to deal with the consequences, or young girls going missing and killed by some serial killer, and the family just have to cope, you know, with their loved one being taken in the prime of their life. And there's a lot of people really get into this grief. And when I gave this talk, it was a really good talk about, you know, just how to let go of grief. You don't have to have grief, it's suffering. Let it go, for goodness sake. And many techniques on how to let it go. And at the end of the talk, this woman came up to me and she scolded me. She was so angry. What right have you got to take away my grief? And that really shocked me. I said, look, it's suffering. What right have you to stop me suffering? That's what she was saying. And I realized that I talked to the others, she goes to every grief and loss conference. That's who she is. She's made her personality of this poor woman who suffered a terrible tragedy in the past. To let that tragedy go, to let go of the grief, would be to abandon who she thinks she is, to lose her sense of self. That was an extreme case. So much suffering, but it was more suffering to lose her identity as a poor victim. Of course, you know, she got much sympathy from many people. Oh, you poor thing, that must be terrible, you know, that happened to you. So that identity had a lot of advantages to it, but a lot of pain, and certainly no freedom. That is one of the reasons why you can't let go of your past. For a long time, you've decided that's who you are. The divorcee. The person who's been cheated, the survivor of cancer, or whatever else it is that you've done. If you want to really let go of the past, you have to let go of that part of yourself which is defined by the past. It takes a lot of courage just to be free, to be somebody else. It's great fun being a monk, because I'm all sorts of people. When I was in Indonesia just 2 weeks ago, I was a big celebrity, the rock star, causing a traffic jam in Medan for 2 kilometers around my venue. My tickets selling out faster than Lady Gaga. That was true. And all these photographs being taken. And yesterday you may have seen me just in the mud, getting dirt all over myself in the morning, fixing up the plumbing. I like doing that. One moment you're sort of a rock star, the next time you're a labourer getting yourself all dirty with mud all over you, you know, fixing up the drains. You know, you saw me do that. This is, you know, who I am. And I love doing that, because you can be all sorts of different personalities. Which one is the right Ajahn Brahm? None of them is. So don't define yourself by your past. Then you can be anybody at any time. You can be like a chameleon, just changing to fit the situation. Please let it go. But it means letting go of part of yourself. Which is why in this meditation, I know people say, Ajahn Brahm, you just talk samatha. It's not samatha. Heaps of insight come along with this. If you're really going to be wise, the biggest insight is let go of your sense of self. Anatta, non-self. This is how you're doing it. What do you mean by letting go of yourself? The first part of it is letting go of your identity, who you think you are. And that is defined by the past. You got university degrees, or you're stupid, you never got any degree at all. If you define yourself by the past, you can't do anything. You can't be free. You know, you may be a husband, married. You may have kids. Now that's the past. In this moment, you're totally free. Don't define yourself by all the things you've achieved and all the things you've failed at in your past. That's gone. Let it go. To do that, you're letting go of a lot of your identity. You are becoming non-self. The more you disappear, the easier it is to meditate. And it also the fear of the future. You know, a lot of times people have a lot of trouble just letting go of all this planning. You plan because you're afraid if you don't plan, it's going to all go wrong. Now, my answer to that, if you don't plan, it's true. If you don't plan, things go wrong. Now, you miss your lunch, you know, you miss your plane, you miss your aircraft. But that's if you plan, things go wrong. So if you don't plan, things go wrong. But if you do plan, they go wrong anyway. That's what I've found. If you do plan, the aircraft is delayed or something changes. You know, how many times have you planned and got frustrated and it's all gone wrong? So look, this is the truth of the matter. If you don't plan, it goes wrong. If you do plan, it goes wrong. It's going to go wrong anyway. So you might as well not plan and have a good time before things go wrong. That's my attitude. So you don't need a plan so much. It's all going to go wrong anyway. Before it goes wrong, enjoy yourself by having a bit of freedom. Because it's so much worry about planning. Because sometimes you can't just have plan A. But have plan A, and plan A doesn't work, plan B. If that doesn't work, what else should I do? Plan C. And it's all because you're afraid. Now, I won't be able to cope when things go wrong. You have coped when things go wrong. When things go wrong, that's when they get interesting. I love it when things go wrong, because number one, that's life. It reminds me, this is real life. Life is what goes wrong. I'm sure many of you were born because your mum and dad got it wrong. So if things didn't go wrong, you wouldn't be here. The trouble is, what I say is true. So it's wonderful when life goes wrong. It makes life really interesting and it's alive, it's real. But don't be afraid of things going wrong. These days, when things go wrong, I really think it's so funny. This is what I learned from monks like Ajahn Chah. When you made mistakes, we did really stupid things, and things went wrong, he laughed. He really burst out laughing, almost tears coming out of his eyes. And that's what I've learned now. When people do things wrong, you know, I think it's so funny. And when I do things wrong, it's so funny because many people look at me. And so every time I make a big mistake, you know, like saying, you know, like lips instead of tongue for those husky dogs, I made so many of you happy. So every mistake is a cause of generating more happiness in this world. What a wonderful thing it is. So please, in this retreat, please make more mistakes. Makes people happy. Do stupid things, like putting rabbit ears on those monks outside. They're monks. Putting rabbit ears on the monks. That makes it laugh, doesn't it? It makes it funny. It gives you joy. My teddy bear. I just told him that this teddy bear has been here for over a year now. This is monastic China Grove teddy bear, the oldest resident. It's amazing just how peacefully he can meditate. Sits there. Look at him. But I told Venerable Santuti, it's about time. Long enough now, we ordain him, get him a brown robe for next retreat. So isn't that human? Soft? Brings you a lot of energy. So don't be afraid of making mistakes in the future. When you're not afraid of making mistakes in the future, when you're not afraid of things going wrong in the future, then you won't need to plan so much. You'll be able to trust. The future will all work out. You won't have any fear. So you can let the future go and just be in this moment and enjoy life. And then you get the deeper discovery. I've said this many times, but I'm going to say it again because it really is profound. Now is the time your future is being made. Right in this moment. And if you really want to do the very, very, very best for your future, and the very best for your future is your peace, your health, your happiness, your wisdom, all the other stuff are incidentals. If you have peace, wisdom, say compassion, health, aren't those the most important things to guarantee you success in the future? Where are those qualities made? When is the only time you can do anything to make peace, health, happiness, wisdom, compassion? Right now. This is the place the most important qualities which will ensure your happiness and well-being in the future are made right now. So if you really care about the future, put your attention in the place where these qualities are being made, where they're being built right now. You know, every time I'm about to give a talk, and sometimes big talks, I realize the best thing to do is not to prepare the talk, but to prepare the present moment, to prepare the person who's going to give that talk. Not the material of the talk, not what I'm going to say, but this being who's going to give that talk. So I make sure, before I give a talk, get right in the present, really peaceful, very kind, energized, and then I know I can give a good talk. That's why I don't get afraid giving talks. It's supposed to be the most fearful thing a person can do is to give a public talk, especially to about 5,000 people on national TV like in Indonesia. But no, prepare this present moment, because I know if this present moment is really good, making peace in this moment, happiness, clarity, that's the best way to prepare for the future. So, for those of you who are concerned about your future peace, happiness, health, and wisdom, if that's what you're really concerned about, don't plan the future. Put your attention in this moment, the place where these things are made. And then you'll find this retreat just works so well. Every moment you're creating peace, kindness, wisdom, relaxing. It's the best thing you can do for your health in this moment. And you'll find as these hours and days go by, the mind becomes more and more peaceful, more and more happy, more and more mindful, more wise. Why? It's because you're creating these things. In Buddhism we have the law of karma. The law of karma is you create the future by what you're doing now. The future is the karmic result of this moment. If you make this moment peaceful, kind, not worrying about the past, not worrying about the future, not being angry at the present, but being kind and accepting, open the door of your heart to this moment. That is amazing, powerful karma. If you do that, you can trust that your future will be excellent, beautiful. Law of karma. Do good in this present moment, and the future will be happy and peaceful. And everything you want will come. Because you put your attention in the place the future is being made. Right now. So this talk this morning is the beginning of meditation, the present moment awareness. I've created the interest in the present moment by showing its power, by showing just how you have to overcome the opposites, the past, the present, past and the future. And then after a while, you'll find you get to like the present moment. It's actually a very, very wonderful place to stay. You feel so free, so happy, so unencumbered. It actually feels like you're on a retreat. You can come to a place like this, which is as perfect a meditation center as you can possibly get in the world. It's way up there, you know, if not the very, very best. But even though it's a beautiful retreat center and very well looked after, even so, you can destroy this retreat
by spending all your time planning the future or worrying about the past. You might as well not be here. So this is a retreat centre. Enjoy the retreat. The more you spend in this present moment, the more you are here, the more you'll feel the benefit of this retreat. And if you have difficulty being in this present moment, you don't know what to do, just go out and look at the beautiful views over the valley. At night time, look at the full moon and the stars. Feel the wind on your face. Go out into the forest and just see the birds. There's so much beauty in nature. And the great thing about nature, it's only happening now. If you're not in this present moment, you miss that bird. If you're not in the present moment, you can't even feel the heat of the sun on your skin. That's why going out into the beautiful nature in this area will bring you to the present moment. If you're thinking about what you're going to do next, you can't feel the sun. If you're worrying about your finances, you just can't hear the sounds of the birds. So see if you can open your ears and your eyes to nature. That will bring you into the present moment. And all your fears of the future, all of the burdens of the past will disappear. The first day of this retreat, please see how much you can be here in the in-between moments between the future and the past. Not always going to some destination, like in a few moments when we finish this talk, going to the toilet or going to the have a cup of tea or going to your room. Be there on the way. Really respect the in-between moments of this retreat, and then you'll find, you realize what the present moment truly is. It's the place before you get to your destination and after you've left. That's called now. So enjoy the now, because it's just now minutes past now, on the nowth day of the nowth month, 2000 and now. Exactly the same time as when I started. Doesn't it feel like that? Days and years go past, but it always feels the same. It's just now, as it will always be. So, that's it. Finito. So, any questions about present moment awareness? Going? Gone. If you have any questions, please put them on a piece of paper and I will destroy them before the talk. No, I will answer them rather softly. So have a nice morning. If you've arrived late, then go back to bed and have another nap. If you are got energy, then just go and meditate or go for a nice walk. If you want to just, you know, you don't know really what to do, go and make yourself a cup of tea and just sit and watch the beautiful view. It's a wonderful day today. It's not started to warm up again. When it's one of the best times of the year in Australia. Just, you know, when it's sort of the autumn time, the hot summer is over, the really cold winter is yet to come. And the other time of the year, the spring, there's too many flies around to really enjoy it. But now there's no flies. Isn't very few. Beautiful sunshine, not too cold, not too hot. Not like in Singapore where you're sweating all the time and worrying about mosquitoes. This is so free and energizing and beautiful. So enjoy the morning. Have a good time.